have received at his hand to set forth this most worthy praise, to hear his holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship, let us kneel and bow down before him, let us confess our sins with penitent hearts, and obtain forgiveness by his infinite grace and mercy.
Almighty and most merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed the devices and desires of our hearts. We have offended against your holy law. We have done those things which we should not have done, and we have not done those things which we should have done. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Spare us and restore us, according to the promises you have declared to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. For his sake, grant that we may live in the body of righteous and sober life, to the glory of your holy name.
The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open my lips.
Reading is from Ezekiel chapter 36. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, we have all heard what it is like for when a father has to leave home for an extended period of time, but he promises to come back. It's very difficult. And the children probably asking, why? Why, Dad, do you have to leave? And hopefully there is some sort of stopgap in there to fill in that empty place of the Father. The God we worship is known by his existence. He is known by his words. He's known by his works that we find in Scripture. The God we worship is the primary and eternal reality, that which explains all else, that which is the source of all else. He is the one who is outside of the universe, yet created his universe and sustains it. And he is also one who has entered into his universe in a very personal way. And the reason that he has entered into this universe is explained in the chapter in which our text is found, Ezekiel chapter 36, where God tells his people that they have profaned his name. Now, to profane God's name is not simply to use one of his specific names like God or Father or Lord or Jesus and misuse it or abuse it, although that's a result of profaning his name. But to profane his name means to take his very existence, his works, his words, his visitation to this earth, and not only reject it, but to stomp on it. That is the essence of the fall into sin. something that has affected every generation and every person since Adam and Eve, right down to this very room today, this very chapel. When we talk about God coming into the world in a very personal way, we automatically think of the incarnation, the second person of the triune God, the Son of God, coming into this world in flesh to live the life that we could not live and to die the death that we were to die. And by that death, he gave a death blow to the profaning of his name, to the sinful nature, and to all sin that results from that nature. He dealt with the sinful nature completely, sufficiently, and thoroughly. And when Jesus made that comment on the cross, "It is finished," that wasn't a hope, that wasn't a dream, that is a reality now. Our sins are forgiven. And then we also think about that other great coming of the Son of God, the return of Christ, when he will judge the living and the dead, and when people at that time will either enter into eternity with or without God. And if it's with God, there will be no more profaning of his name, no more sin, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more difficulty, only perfect joy and peace with Christ. When Jesus explained this gap to his apostles, they were confused, but they also had a very keen sense of loneliness. They also had a very keen sense that there was this gap that was going to take place. And they were essentially saying, "Why? Why, Lord? You are our Lord, you are our leader, you are the one who forgives us, you are the one who corrects us, you are the one who teaches the truth, you are the one who preserves us, you are the one who protects us from our enemies. Why?" And we can understand their consternation regarding this gap between Christ's first coming and his last great coming. Because we too live in the same world that they do. We have this gap. We have all our sins. We have all our struggles. We have all our trials. Every day, as Christians, and that's the way it is, we are a part of this gap. So what is the solution for the gap? Our text is, "I will put my spirit in you." Coming of the Holy Spirit is the stopgap. Coming of the Spirit is now. This whole New Testament period is the coming of the Holy Spirit. It is that time when the Holy Spirit comes with the means of grace, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the word of the gospel, things that are effective not just back then when that water was poured on us, but this very moment as we sit here. But the question is, is this coming of the Holy Spirit sufficient? Is it a sufficient stopgap? Well, the fascinating thing about this coming of the third person of the triune God is who he is bringing to us. Jesus said to his disciples before he left, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." When God the Holy Spirit visits, when he comes, through word and sacrament, he is really bringing us Christ. In a hidden way, but he is really bringing us Christ. Christ, the one who forgives us today. The one who comforts us, the one who strengthens us, the one who gives us new life so that we are no longer dead in our trespasses and sins, so that we are alive in Christ. The gap is very difficult. for all Christians. We have the devil, the world, and our sinful nature bombarding us day after day. And that's why this stopgap is so important and so essential. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, especially the students here, please realize you will probably never have an opportunity like this again in your life to be here at Bethany and come to chapel day after day. So come every day. Invite your friends, invite fellow students, invite professors, invite faculty, because the Holy Spirit is coming here every day, and He is bringing you Christ. Amen. Please rise.
Ascend in triumph far above all heavens. We beseech you, leave us not comfortless, but send us the Spirit of truth, the promise of the Father. You who with the Father and the Holy Spirit live and reign, one true God, now and forever.